Remembering from sleeping on the floor, sleeping hungry with my parents, to what I am today is a miracle. Where you have everything in scarcity, from food to money to respect to everything, no value, you know. Growing up in that society where my father was a small scale trader, and then he ran bankrupt, and then he became a laborer in the construction sites. All the money that he brought home was meant for food. Only food and nothing more. So I hated poverty from day one and said, man, I don't want to live this life. I don't want my kids to go through this kind of scenario.
So many people are impoverished today, and I know our audience in Zimbabwe can relate to this state of poverty. Yet you say in your book, this is how I moved from a nobody to a somebody. It's like you made a decisive choice.
It's
obviously not that easy.
It's a choice. Don't put blames on anybody. It's choice. You know, first of all, you must know that I did not manage to go to secondary school. In Tanzania, we have standard 7. That was the end of my education for that matter. Because of the mistreatment, I developed a sense of inferiority complex. I knew that whatever I do cannot account to anything. So I made the choice. I'm talking about choice. That I don't want to be like, yes, my father is my role model, but I don't want to live the life that my father did. I'm choosing a different direction of life. I'll do whatever I can. I'll never give up until I win. It's choice. And because I did not have a lot of education, just blessed like you are, the only choice was for me to learn business. My father, being a small-scale trader, he taught me how to trade as a young boy, having discipline with my money and aiming higher. So I said, I have to achieve my dreams and my father's dreams. Because my father wanted to buy a tractor, for instance. When I was small, he used to say, man, if I have money, I'm going to buy a tractor. But he never bought the tractor. So I said, if my father did not buy the tractor, I'm going to work hard and buy the tractor for him.
So how did you work hard? What did you do?
At the age of 17, I went to the mines. It's a very emotional story. I went to the mines and I became a miner in the mining fields. And I made my first money at the very young age. And, you know, adolescence and stuff like that, I got into all kind of stupidity and did all the kind of mess young people do. Because I thought that I was successful already, I was rich, not realizing that the money I had was just too small. So I managed to build my parents' house at the age of 22. You know, I used to live in a neighborhood where my father was the first to build the house, and then rich people came, building castles around us. So it became the only poor family. And sometimes they threw their refuse and wastes in front of a house because our house was too small. And we were mistreated by kids from rich families. So I was angry, to be honest with you. I was angry and said, man, I am going to do whatever. So at the mines, I made money and I built my parents a house at the age of 22. And people started respecting my parents. You know what? Before I built, they used to come every day. When you are poor, people come every day, ask you to sell the plot to them. You know what I mean? Can you sell me the plot? They tell poor people like that. So I built the house, and they changed the statement. They started saying, "Where did the old man who used to live here shift to?" They never knew that the same old man is still living in the same house.
In the bigger house.
Yes. So from that point, I said, now I have done my first obligation. My second obligation now is me. Blessings for my parents. Because I made my parents happy and they did everything to bless me and I was blessed. And now I moved to Dar es Salaam. Like I told you, I messed up. I'm not an angel. I was just an ordinary kid, just like anybody, you know. And when I made my first money, I became stupid, did all the crazy things you mentioned. I ran bankrupt again, went back to poverty, and we started sleeping hungry again in the big house, but sleeping hungry. And then I said, well, I'm not going to sell the house. I'm standing up again, going to Dar es Salaam in search of new opportunities. That's the moment I said, yes, I am knocked down, but what more can I do? That's the time I realized that I had a talent of writing.
I want to talk a little bit about your writing. So it's so ironic. With a grade 7 education, here you are, an author, a motivational speaker, a publisher. How did that happen?
Education to me is the ability to be given the weapon. And you use that weapon to shoot. If it's a lion, you shoot it, and then you move ahead. When you have the weapon, which is education, and yet you don't know how to shoot with it, the lion will come and eat you. So what's my point? I don't devalue education. Education is very important, I know. I take my kids to the best schools in the country. I want them to have what I did not have. I'm not saying people should drop out of college or drop out of school. I don't believe in that.
And speaking about dropping out of college, or did you ever advance your education?
No.
You never
there
did?
There was this story I want to tell you about. It's a very funny story. When I was in the village, before I went to the mines, I had the opportunity to go for an interview. This interview was for nursing assistants. Nursing assistants, those people like cleaners in the hospital, stuff like that. So a friend of mine told me about the interview, and I went. When I got in the interview room, the interviewers looked at me, and they asked me questions. I couldn't answer any question because I wasn't able to speak English. In the end, I said, okay, let me just tell them my story. I said to you, look at me, listen, I'm poor. If you give me this chance, go to school. I'm going to help my parents. I'm going to help my community. Please, please. And I started crying. I was very young. And now one of the interviewers was a woman. You know women. They have good hearts and soft hearts and stuff like that. So I left the interview room without answering any question. But later when they were announcing, mentioning the names of the winners, I was among us, the winners. That was what? I went to this college. It was a 1 year course. The principal told me, you know why we chose you? Your story made us cry. That's the only reason. So don't let me down. Study hard. You will pass. I believe in you. I started studying those difficult subjects, cramming without knowing a single sentence. I was cramming and swallowing them. You know those subjects like microbiology, pharmacology, anatomy, and physiology. They have all those difficult subjects I swallowed. You know what happened? I moved from cramming to understanding. Eventually, I became the number one student in the class. I graduated and I was given a diploma now to go study in nursing course of 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I said, I don't want to be a nurse.
So you excelled despite the odds.
I said, no, I'm not gonna be a nurse. Let me just keep on searching money and digging down deep. So basically, that's what happened.
So obviously, there are a lot of people listening to your story, and they think, you know, I'm in that situation. And you're a motivational speaker now. You're here in Washington partly to do that. What would you tell somebody who doesn't feel there's any hope?
Wherever you are is not your position. When God created us, He never created a poor person. God created a man in His image. We are just like God, intelligent. But because of some people's opinions, the names that we are called every day, we are sleeping dormant. I want you to trust and have confidence in yourself right now. Wherever you are, stand up. Do something, no matter it's small. Do the right thing every day. Keep doing and believing in yourself, believe in your heart. What your heart tells you is the truth. God will give you people along the way. Eventually, you'll be at the end of your destination. It is possible. It was possible with me. Don't talk too much. Do it. Once God gives you an idea, implement it. Don't wait for validation from people. Once God gives you an idea, just figure out how to do it. If you fail, it is you. It's your business.
What is your experience with the youth, and how do you think they can be motivated to look beyond their current circumstances, no matter how devastating they seem?
I speak to young people about leadership and about being responsible. And I speak to African leaders about being responsible as well, because this is a two-way traffic. Okay? If the environment is not there, the possibility of young people succeeding is also very difficult. That is, of course, understandable. The thing I'm saying right now is, we put a government in power, and the government that we put in power doesn't care about us. What do we do? We have the power of the ballot. The power of the ballot. If we can use the ballot paper to get that government which does not care about us out of power, let's do it. Young people in Africa must learn to speak when things are not right. Let them not stand on the sideline just complaining and complaining when things are not moving the way they're supposed to move. That's what I see in Africa. Let them participate. Let them be the catalyst of change in any country, be it in Zimbabwe, be it in Kenya, be it in Tanzania. Young people are about 65% of the population. Why keep silent? Let's move ahead and speak.
I want you to just summarize for me your works. You have several publications. You've written several books. How many books have you written?
I have published 7, but I have written 91 manuscripts.
Wow.
With the 91 manuscript with about 400 to 500 pages books. My goal is to do 100 before I'm 50. I'm 45.
Okay, you got 5 years. You got to get busy. And what is your general message in your books?
The thing is transformation. I want people to change. There's something I know that majority of the young people do not know, I think. So I do a transformational message. I give people information that can help them realize that they are powerful because we have been rendered powerless by what people talk about us. So it's like, you know, setting people free from the mentality of saying I cannot do it and make them believe I can.
And how do you know you're being successful at it?
At the moment, you know, I'm happy with the position I am in life, but I'm yet to be where I want to go. So to me, you know, everybody is in search of power. You are in search of power. I'm in search of power. You know, when you go to school, all you're searching for is power. When you're doing business every day, you are in search of power. Power means affording things in life, right? So if today I can afford coming to Washington, something I wasn't able to do just 10 years ago, I am happy. But I will never be complacent saying, man, I'm here now. It's enough. I fight every day. To me, my father told me, and I want to keep this in my mind for the rest of my life, that the pursuit of success is like somebody pedaling a bicycle. The moment you stop pedaling, you stop moving. And the moment you stop moving, you have to fall down. So keep your foot on the accelerator. Keep going. Keep going until you die.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.